Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
Hi everyone, it's Jenny. So good to be back on the podcast. Today I have with me my dear friend, Catherine Pei. She calls herself an arts enthusiast. And so I'm going to ask her to share with us a little bit about her story, and then I'll tell you a bit more about her later. But tell us, Kat, why do you consider yourself an arts enthusiast? What does that mean? Is the wall in your living room lined up with art pieces?
Oh, yeah. I think I don't have enough walls at the moment. But yes, I think the interest really started when I was, I would say in college, junior college, I think. I've always been gravitated towards something creative. So, you know, was involved in some drama productions. Then after that, fashion. You know, so fashion is always also kind of keenly related to visual arts. So that also kind of triggered certain kind of interest for me to get a little bit more involved as an audience, you know, I think what really kind of gave me a grounding of what I enjoy doing was when I started my university in I did my university degree
not here
in Hawaii. Yes.
Sometime back.
That was many, many years back. We can let the audience decide the age. I love the museums. I've always loved the museums for some reason. Joined it as a member. So every other week I would be spending my time there just looking at how these artists create like works of art, you know, the skills and the details, you know. So that really just set up. So I was thinking, okay, if I go back to Singapore, I'm not going to be working on something, a 9-to-5 job. I really would love to be in the creative line, regardless of where it is, but I think that was where it kind of centered
Heart was calling out to that.
Yes, my heart was calling out to that.
But it must have been hard, because this is maybe 2 decades ago, and the art scene in Singapore wasn't thriving.
Yeah, it's 2 decades
yet,
ago.
So you had to find your way. So today, though, you have done a lot of art for the community. You've worked with the National Gallery.
Yes.
And really your passion is to help people see the significance of and purpose of art, even in daily lives.
Yes.
And particularly you want to help creatives and artists, Christian creatives and artists, to understand that this is a high, noble and good calling that they have.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us more about how that initial interest in Hawaii and coming back here evolved into this.
So interestingly, the word art to me was something that is also related to culture. And I would first call myself somebody who is really interested in history, civilizations, you know. So prior to that, I was hoping I could be an archaeologist. Okay, that didn't pan out because my dad caught my bluff he knew what I was scheming when I said, oh, I want to do archaeology. I said, there's nothing to dig here in Singapore. I said, nobody says about me coming back to Singapore to do the work. So that's why I landed in a business degree. But having said that, I think that then also continued my journey to look for something that's related to creative, but yet also have a lot of grounding in history and how it is impacting community. So that's all really quite interrelated. My foray into the arts, when I came back to Singapore, it was really tough trying to get a job professionally into the arts. I I did have a diploma in a fashion marketing. So fashion houses or whatever to do with the fashion industry, the doors were there. But
that's not your thing.
But that wasn't my thing. I had a taste of it. I didn't really like it. Mm. It wasn't a very healthy environment then.
Yeah, it's a very different world.
Although
it has that, yeah, the beauty dimension, the artistic aesthetics, but it's a completely different world.
In lack of a better word, it's a bit shallow for me at the moment. Okay, I'm not saying that now, but I'm just saying that then I didn't feel I was challenged intellectually also, right? Mm. So I was looking for an avenue to enter the arts. So the only way I could do that is really working through the stat board. I mean, just working, getting a job with the National Arts Council because they were looking for administrators. And that's how I started, really, giving grants to visual artists. I got a choice to choose which art form that I was going to pick. So visual arts was really up on my list. So I said, okay, I'll do visual. And that helped me to understand the local art scene really well, connected with lots of artists. Yeah. And from there, I never looked back. Then I went into National Museum. There was an opening to do programs and educational programs. So I did my stint there for 7 years. That opened the door to the National Gallery. So I would say all this wasn't by chance, really. I believe the Lord has something planned. Just like anybody with that inkling and that inspiration or that the dream in their heart is never just planted, you know, in your own imagination. It's really God has really a purpose there.
Right, itself. Especially if the dream is sort of persistent, right?
Yes.
And you are actually quite shocked to yourself that I'm still going in this same general direction.
Yes.
No matter
yes.
how many setbacks I've gone through, how hard it is, you know.
Yes, and even when you're not doing anything, related to it before.
And it still continues to steer you. That's kind of the hand of the Lord moving you towards your destiny. So tell us a little bit more then about how you want to help creatives and artists also figure out and understand and embrace their vocation.
Yes. You know, from my experience, just working with artists over, like I would say now, like 18 years, there is a great need of having them to have a space to do the work, okay, because it's so expensive. Renting a facility, even the having a facility which the government tries to provide in a subsidized rental is so limited. And there are so many artists coming out now with the art schools being set up and all that. So one of these key areas that I was really looking at is really like, how can we provide a space for these emerging artists or people who really felt the calling to go into professional full-time, which is a luxury in Singapore terms, but having a studio that they could perhaps share with other artists. They don't even need to own one studio, but they could share it. So one of my heart is really to see how I can build that ecosystem to work with other people in the industry, be it somebody who has a property or somebody who's in the business, in the finance area, someone who is an architect or interior designer, you know. So it's like to build the entire kind of ecosystem that they could have a space, they could do their work, they could teach, earn some staple income. They could supply and be commissioned by developers or people in the hotel line, you know, looking to decorate the walls, architects,
even hospitals.
Oh yes, you're right, that too, and so it's like looking out for projects that they could connect them to artists, creators, you know, and if you're talking about artists who are Christians, right, and they would love to be impacting, or rather giving back to the community in some ways.
Yes,
that is a wonderful kind of a collaboration, Yeah, it's just that they marvelous. Don't know where to where to go, which avenue to.
So I really wish you can pull this off because this bringing together the resources is so important. Even though we're so small in Singapore, sometimes people just feel very lost. And I think for the artist who typically works alone and requires that space of solitude, sometimes you need some help to get out there and to know what's out there and to get connected. Wow, that will be brilliant if you can do that. Yeah.
Yes.
And also, as you are doing that, you're creating a community for them, which is also very important for the artists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's they sense that if you're really genuine in trying to help them, a lot of them are so appreciative, really. I've come across a lot of artists, even just going down, volunteering to help them hang a work, you know, when they're doing an exhibition, helping them get gallery sitters, you know, that kind of stuff. They are so appreciative. But I think you're right, that community plays an important role. And we're trying to get them back into this sense of like, yeah, you need a community to help. And it's good to have a dialogue. Right. If you put up an artwork, an exhibition, and we will always love to make sure that there's an artist session that people can come and have a dialogue with the artist about why you create this, the process of their journey that bore the fruit of this exhibition, you know. And sometimes it could even be just a process that they're putting out. And they can get the direct kind of feedback from the audience. Yeah. So these are all very valuable kind of experiences, I would say.
They are. I think you are reaching something that's very important because we are made in the image of God. We have an impulse to create, actually.
Yes, you're right.
But yet, in sometimes in our society where we are told, this is a bit of a luxury or this is a bit of a waste of time and you don't feel that support structure, this whole dimension of our creativity gets so squashed.
Yeah.
I mean, the average person you talk to, if you ask them, are you creative? They'll just say no. But every single one of us is creative because we are made in the image of a creative God. Yeah. So, and also personally, after I participated in quite a lot of these dialogue sessions with artists and writers and poets, I always come away so enriched. Like, some new things lodge in my mind, or some parts of my heart is moved. I gain a perspective I never had before, or I'm extremely challenged by some of the things they say, or the why do they see it that way? You know, I mean, you can even go to you can even go to a session where somebody has a photography exhibition, on cats, one of my favorite subjects, right?
Yes,
but you know, well, cats are cats. You can say that, but when you have seen it through the eyes of the photographer, why that anger and all that, you know, and then the backstory that they share. The whole experience is so rich.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the perspective that we're talking about. Artists always, pride themselves in saying that they would like to always offer audience a different perspective to how certain objects or even a situation or a subject matter that they're painting. So I think that enriched anyone's kind of even your own journey, right?
Because
it can be a very, very sensitive topic. It can be a very tough or challenging topic to handle. But through art, dialogue can be encouraged.
Yes.
It doesn't need to stop there.
That too,
the interpretation is vast. So you're right. I think that's the reason why some people find it challenging, because it's not black and white. It's not like you see this is how it should be interpreted. Which is what I feel that parents or even I would say anyone who is in a leadership position and putting policies about how do we deal with this kind of content, that content, it's because they struggle to see how we could have a dialogue on very touchy subjects. And artists, it's important that they still have the ability to kind of express their viewpoints. Because it's still part of a journey, right?
Yeah. I think the human mind just tends to want to reach a conclusion very quickly.
Yes.
And that's how our brain operates. So when we reach a conclusion, sometimes our conclusion is immature.
Yes.
It's too too soon, you know, and it's actually extremely preliminary many times. And sometimes in the church, you know, this function of the brain and the fact that we are people dealing with the truth, we sometimes think that that means it's black and white, you know, and then, okay, this is the Bible says, yeah, you do not do this. And then you just don't do this. And but actually, it's a lot more nuanced. It's a lot deeper than that. You know, and you need sometimes a story. You need sometimes an artwork to open up that conversation.
Yeah.
And in opening up that conversation, you actually go much deeper into the subject matter. Like the Bible says, oh, you shall not murder. But so many of us struggle with thoughts of hurting people when we are really, really angry or, you know, and we perceive injustice or whatever it is. And it's,
and Jesus raised the standards that even if you're thinking about it,
And
there's no liking
to it. That's the thing. But yeah, that's in our mind as well. So rather than just have it stuck in our head, if there's an art that talks about these things, we're all getting it out of our systems, we're all processing it together around, you know, and having a conversation. I think we can come away a little bit enriched and definitely maybe mature in our outlook. And also not so, be so afraid of the darkness that is inside us. And on that note of darkness, I know that a lot of artists typically have some sort of darkness in their life, you know.
We all go through that, isn't it? Our valley moments.
But,
right?
You know, they tend to be singled out for that. I mean, because, you know, the
because they express it visibly on
and
the
also,
canvas.
And also the artwork is quite well known for, you know, like, suicides and stuff like that. And it's scary. It's scary for most of us.
Yes, of course,
But could you speak into that, this whole darkness thing in the journey of an artist?
I remember having a conversation with a young artist. And they asked me, I said, how do you advise someone who's creating art and they are creating something's really dark? It doesn't really have any sense of light or hope in the work yet. How do you actually advise them about what they're creating right now? I said I would tell them, I said, is this something that you feel that is ready to share with the world? Or is it really still an internal journey that you are trying to figure out? It's not no different than any of us, okay, coming into, I would say, new to church, you know, working out our lives, you know, and everybody is like seeing all the bad habits are still there, you know, but we got saved, we received salvation, but a lot of bad habits are still there, right? So it's like that for a visual artist. I think there's still a lot of things that they're working through their lives, and they need to. They need to express it on the canvas. They need to express it whichever way they are being wired to do. But we could if there's a community walking with them, if there's a community kind of supporting that journey, it could be a community of love and saying that, okay, perhaps we pray with you. I mean, there's something that you're hurting. There's something that you're working out. That may not be the time to show this piece, you know, but it could be, we could keep it for a later time. Maybe it's a process that you may want to show when there is a sense of like a redemption or a hope or breakthrough in your own lives, in your own walk, that you want to show it later. So I think a better way to explain is that this is how art therapists, I would say, also kind of work through. They worked with the clients or they work with the beneficiary. They get them to kind of use that to express, because a lot of times they may not be able to verbally express it. And you're right. You got to get it out of the system. If it's not out in the light, you can't deal with it, right? If it's all internal, it eats you alive. But when it's out in the light, Holy Spirit, the Lord can deal with it, right? Because then there is this area of a safe space that we could do. Yeah. So I think... That's what I would say. That's why we say that we really need community to rally around artists. They're just like all of us.
Yeah.
So a lot of artists, they feel that they can't fit into a group, because I think it's just the dialogue. You don't need to dialogue about art. You just need to dialogue about life. I think that's where the bridge is. You don't need to find out like, oh, how do you... to this work, why is your work like this? Go to go to them and speak to them like anybody else. Like, yeah, their
do you
life.
Want to go for chicken rice now?
How are you? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, what is, because it's really about life, right? Doing life together. And artists is just like any one of us, really. I think
just relating person to person is what every one of us needs.
Yeah, building the relationship and the trust.
And you're right. I think the creatives and artists, they do have a little bit of a unique space that which requires their solitude for them to work things out. But I'm sure, I'm also, just to check that I'm hearing you correctly, you're not saying that they only present finish neat works with all the lines drawn in.
Yes.
That's not what you're saying. But saying that the creation process, it's a long journey. That's why artists or writers and all of us always ask to create every day.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And at some point, we feel that this is a product that has a message or you want to share with someone. Mm. And or it's, you know, then it comes out, but the creation is ongoing. And in that ongoing process, you will come up against, in your quest for truth as an artist, the darkness within your own soul, the darkness in the world and all that. So and all that will be in the art, right?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about something. I think this is also appealing to the artist to tell them that you also have a responsibility and accountability. I think
that's good.
Being a person to create something to the audience, you just can't give something out and just say, okay, it's okay. Whatever message I want to give, I'll just do it. Especially Christians. I mean, I feel that we as salt, as the person called to be the salt and the light, we have to say like whether it's the right time, so that discernment and that prayer and really just... Even talking to someone like a mentor or somebody who's been walking with them, I think that helps with that building that maturity and understanding how they should present that work.
Yeah.
It's accountability, isn't it, to the audience?
Yeah, and I think even if you are creative or an artist, you are not so exclusive as to be exempt from accountability. I think accountability occurs is something that all of us have to, be responsible for. So that's important. Yeah. There's so much more we can talk about. CAD, we can talk about commercial value of art. You know,
I don't think I'm a real expert about that. And,
I mean just the fact that, and there's a really, really a lot more. But just before we go, maybe one last thing. Francis Schaeffer says, things of beauty are for the praise of God. So I want to roll back to, you know, how you started with this love for the art. You started with drama, a little bit of fashion, and then moved into visual arts and arts organization, administration. Yeah. Things of beauty are to the praise of God. How do you see your passion for helping creatives and artists move towards this? When art sometimes is not always beautiful, how does it then become a thing of beauty to the praise of God?
Personally, I truly believe reflecting God's creation is really one way of connecting men back to the ultimate creator. Yeah. So, but we're also called to, co-labor with the Lord, and He has given us that kind of flexibility and even the freedom to do that with Him. So, I would encourage artists to just look beyond what they currently are very comfortable in creating, especially Christians, to really start to have that relationship with God the Father. I think ultimately it's about knowing the Father's love, that sonship, that daughters that they are called to be the sons and daughters, and we are not just only a vessel, but that relationship with God is so important. I always say that, you artists are so, it's very important that you have a very close walk with the Lord, because whatever you are receiving from Him, that inspiration is unique. And it may not be something that, a white audience can be appealing to a white audience, but hey, if you're obedient to the Lord and you're called to create, just like, a pastor just gets inspired and do a sermon, it doesn't speak to every one of us at that time, but it spoke to just one person. You see, that's how beautiful, you know, God is. It's like, it's sometimes it's just reaching out to that one lost sheep.
So and God cares for that one lost sheep, exactly, in the parable of the lost sheep, right?
So I would encourage artists to first go to the foundation, the word, about that relationship with God, getting that inspiration through that walk with the Lord, and making sure that they also continue to master their skills in where either you're a potter or you're a ceramist or you're a painter, that you also continue to be excellent in
technical excellence.
Technical excellence. And that's really part of the worship, right? Whatever we do our best. That's the worship to the Lord. And not to be too bothered about the world standard.
Right.
Because the world is... you wanted to ask about, maybe we can talk about commercial. I tell you, it's a whole thing that is probably, there's a system, you know, that I don't think we are called to be in.
It's an entire economic, that's an entire economic industry.
Yes, precisely. And I think we are called to not be part of this, but to give people this perspective that only God can give. And I think artists can only receive them if they truly spend that quiet time, that walk, that journey, their valley moments, their victorious moments, you know, that, you know, mountain and valley moments, you know. So all these are all very rich, I think. And we are actually planning to create a platform in October to gather visual artists together to do an exhibition called Beautifully Made. So that was very quite timely that you mentioned about beautiful, because this was the theme that we prayed, the core planning committee prayed about, and this one came out very strongly, and it's about restoring identity back to the artists, because for the longest time they never felt that they are a significant part of the body, because they don't know, it's not because they are not significant as an individual, it's because their giftings are not being used, right? Or they don't know how, people don't know how to kind of get them to
use that definitely gifting. I agree, but I think we're definitely still figuring this out a lot in the church. How to have art back in the church.
We have
gone so far away from that now,
especially
in the evangelical circles. I mean, from the fact that the Bible says thou shalt have no graven images, and then, you know, we associate art and as extravagant and all that. And church is supposed to be simple and, you know. So we sort of lost it while we are trying to, you know, keep to the simplicity of the gospel. But we sort of lose the whole totality, the whole person, the whole created order.
Yes, I think so.
So there's a need to restore that. And when it comes to restoring things, you always have to figure out then why you have to restore it, how to restore it, and all that, right? So, yeah, is it just getting artists to read poems during the service? Or, there's actually a lot of scope, I feel, for the church to welcome the arts back in. And so it's a conversation and a journey that both the artist and the church has to embark on. And I think Beautifully Made sounds wonderful to move towards that. And I think there are also some small mushrooming projects in our city that's moving towards that. Those incubation projects going on. So that's really exciting.
Yes, it is. I have to agree with what you say. There's actually a lot of churches right now are starting to really embrace art, visual arts. Through their worship, even through missions, you know, kind of affirming artists in that way. So it's all good. I mean, we're all going into the right direction. I think it's just...
The whole picture paints 1,000 words.
Yes.
I think, when we embrace the arts, we will open up a lot more new avenues just for how we can share the gospel, how we can disciple people as well.
Yes.
And because art is so... it's very gritty, actually, art. That's how I see it. Yeah. It's very real.
It's real.
It will force us to look at some of the things that maybe we gloss over or we give too quick and too simple answers to.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's for the maturation of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a language.
Exactly. Art is a language. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. You know, just before we go, a little tidbit.
Yeah.
Did you know that on the hem of the high priest, right, in the Old Testament,
they
have blue pomegranates?
Yes,
pomegranates are never blue, right?
Yeah.
So
maybe
it was kind of a cute idea that God had to, oh, let's make some cute little blue pomegranates.
Yeah.
And the hem of the high priest.
Yeah, who says they have to be red?
That's art for you. Thank you very much, Kat, for coming
and
talking to us.
Thank you. Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.